worship in the Word, 2 Peter chapter 1. I'll read verses 3 through 8 in my copy. It's the King's English. I'm going to read it, and then we'll have a little bit of commentary, and then we'll go right into making the sandwich, okay? Here we go. Understand that the first two verses are a greeting. I read part of that already. It's a greeting from Simon Peter. Then he goes on to discuss the salvation that we have through God's strength. Verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Now I want us to focus just briefly on verse 3 and 4 and just look at the way that the writer comments on things. It bears into the context, and this is how I deal with readings. I'm trying to preface what we have to deal with by saying what's already here. He talks about life and godliness. There's a tandemness to it. There's two things going on. There's this exceeding great and precious. The idea, the majesty of the promise, this is grand, and also they're precious. It's not just that it's big pie in the sky, it's very dear. It's something we'd grasp. It's something we'd bring close to ourselves. And this goes through the matching bookends of our text today. His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who hath called us to glory and virtue. There's two more things. Two more matching bookends. You're like, tandem, why does he just say one thing? Why do I have to deal with two things? And that's the point, is that Peter's bringing out that there is a shimmering radiance to what is given. There's the glitz, but there's also the virtue. It's not just that it's the color gold, it's that it's gold. Okay? You get the idea. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. We've already talked about that. That by these you might be partakers. And here's the next tandem. This is the next duo. Exceeding great and precious promises that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And as I think we can move into the first point of the sermon there, right? This is the sandwich sermon. This is to whet your appetite. Get a good glimpse of that. This tandem is a partaker, and then the next one's going to be escaper. Don't move us forward. We're going to stick with the partaker at this point. We have exceeding great and precious promises that we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now let me finish reading the distance of our sermon today. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And if you're thinking, I go on in my sermons, you're thinking, why the long list, Peter? Okay? And here is a long list. And what I tried to do, and this is from way back when, is that a pastor listens to criticism, listens to feedback, and he says, you know, there are a lot of words here. And a lot of those words are kind of difficult for me to comprehend and understand and put to practice in my life. And I'm a pastor that says, well, if you don't understand what they mean, then let me help you with that. Because I can't necessarily tell you in your life how that's going to erupt or show up, or whenever you face it, you need to use it. It needs to be in your tool bag so that you just pull it out and put it into play. So the best that I could do is try to clarify exactly what the writer's getting at, so that when you leave here today, you can take that idea with you and then, oh, that's what's happening. I put it into play. This is what I'm... And I, you know... You know me, it's got to revolve around food, right? And I was doing some technical study on this passage. I'm doing word study after word study and saying, you know what? My visit to Subway Hoagies, this made sense. and every one of the ingredients, and in the order that I put them on my sandwich, works. And so I started thinking, this is what this word means. This actually is a good object representation of it. A life of faith is not always creating filet mignon. It's not going to be that. It's going to be a sustaining sandwich. And by the way, Christian life isn't all supposed to be gruel, okay, or corn grits. You get the idea that God is the one that has given us the things for life and godliness. It isn't always going to be filet mignon. But sure shooting, it can be a good sandwich, right? And that's what we're looking towards communicating today. We've read the passage. We've said, add to these things knowledge, temperance, temperance, patience, patience, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are the last two tandems, barren and unfruitful, and they actually echo back to life and godliness. Okay, the life and godliness is it, the matching bookends to that is barren and unfruitful. That barren is that you didn't even have flower to produce. I'm sorry, you didn't have a flower to produce pollen and have any robust life occur. You didn't start your apple season with a piece of fruit coming from a stem. It just didn't happen. So barren or unfruitful, that means bringing no fruit to perfection, bringing no maturity, no actual harvest. God has given us the things that we need for life and godliness. And that godliness is that echoes back of fruitfulness. So here we go. When you go to the hoagie shop, they ask you for what kind of bread you want. As you start with your meat and potatoes, the nuts and bolts, the burger and the bun. And that's the honest truth, and we need to think it through. For those of you who haven't thought this through in terms of faith, is that where's the beef? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? It starts with faith and grace. God has offered himself, given you grace, and you have to believe. Now, I'm not saying you have to believe. I'm saying that's the call. Have you believed? And that's the nuts and bolts of life in Christ is starting it. And that's the start of the sandwich is, in terms that Peter used, I am a partaker of the divine nature. We're going to make that the bread. You're a partaker, but you're also an escaper. Now, I'm not going to be chintzy here. I'm going to put this on nice and thick. Okay? Because that's how you like your sandwich, right? Is that enough meat yet? More! You are both a partaker of the divine nature in spiritual terms and an escaper. There's something that we need to learn about that. Is it, in terms of being a partaker, that means that God has given himself to you through his death, burial, and resurrection in Jesus Christ, and have you taken that in? Have you even opened a wrapper? And then the other thing is the escaper. Now, I didn't want to put this in terms of death, but what we have here is an animal gave its life for this. And I don't want to get too detailed, but what have you given in terms of your sacrifice to the Lord? I'm not sure, but you need to be. So we start with the meat and the bread, and that's really the nuts and bolts of the sandwich. If you don't have that, what you have is a salad. Don't pretend that you have a sandwich if you don't have the meat and the bread. Okay, and just remember that there's a spiritual application there. Because everything that follows here, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you've got a word salad of I'm trying to be moral, I'm trying to do this, I'm trying, and it all sounds pretty religious, but you don't have it. You don't have it. You need to be a partaker of Jesus Christ and all that he's done. And you need to be an escaper from the lust of the world. Okay, and by that, we're talking about Peter's terms, not mine. I didn't make this up. Okay, now, I know that I'm trying to give you an object lesson that fits, but read the verse, understand where I'm coming from, and I think that you'll come to terms that I'm not too far off. Now, what's the next thing you ask for at the sandwich shop? And this is descriptive of what is found in that next part of the verse. What are we to add to our faith? Virtue. Now here, this is where I was being a little too generous there. But the point is that you can't be too generous with virtue. Virtue is the idea of something that you've had to practice. You ever heard the term virtuoso? It's not typically referred to as somebody who's a rap dancer. Okay, they may practice a lot, the Michael Jackson steps and stuff, but they're not normally called a virtuoso. No, a virtuoso is somebody who plays the piano well or plays the violin well or is a great artist and paints well. Okay, there's a craft, there's an art, there's a something that is intrinsically beautiful. Intrinsically beautiful. The word in our King's English is a virtuous woman who can find, Proverbs 31. Who can find somebody like that? What does that passage mean? It has a meaning. Okay, it's a virtuous woman is a woman who is defined by all the things in Proverbs 31 that we always talk about on Mother's Day. In Philippians, it says, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What is he talking about? He's talking about that which is morally pure. There is a moral goodness. There's a quality to it that is gorgeous. But it's not just, oh, that's good. No, it's not just that everybody here just looks at it and says, well, it's your preference. No, there's an intrinsic nature to the idea of virtue that it holds that character. It holds that character. Now, the way that I put it, is it, I kind of have the slogan, you know, milk, it does a body good, right? Why? Because there's something rich there. It's creamy. There's a texture to it. It kind of is mellow, but it's also powerful. I don't know why it seems to go on this sandwich the way that I like it, but it does make sense to me. That cheese, virtue, kind of the same thing. Maybe to you, cheese isn't virtuous. But I'll tell you what, there's a craft to making something out of milk that you continually give it age and time to mature, and it is an art to make something good. Anybody ever tried brie? I just went to the store. I'm like, well, what I like is provolone, but you have so many choices. There's Jack, there's Pepper Jack, there's Colby Jack, there's Munster. Any kind you want. It all represents the same thing, virtue, and it's kind of mellow. Doesn't really spice things up at all, but it just kind of adds. And that's what I'm getting at. Add to your faith. Add to the meat and potatoes. Add into the bread and meat of the sandwich virtue. That's what Peter's getting at. If you're going to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, you're going to add these things to your life. Okay? It's not just going to stay stagnant. I mean, there's a lot of people that go to work and they just grab, turkey, bagel, boom, smash it together, that's lunch. But life can be better than that, okay? Life can be fuller than that. The next thing is, what are we adding to our virtue? What's next? Knowledge, there in that text, there's two words used for it, epigenosko and gnosko. I did the Greek on this. This is pretty interesting. But the epigenosko is I know that I know. It's kind of like the overwhelming sense of knowledge. But the knowledge that he's referring to is the pursuit of data, the pursuit of facts, and facts that are individual. And they add to your quote-unquote smartness, and you develop from that. It's a learning process. And that's what believing in Jesus involves, is a learning process where you come to know him better and better. And I represent that this way, is the individual shredded pieces of lettuce. And the one thing I'll comment, there's a caveat here, okay? What does the lettuce add to the sandwich? It adds texture.
right? That's texture. But truly, is it good? It's good stuff. No, don't give me that. Lettuce on your sandwich is good. It's good for you, and it represents green, okay? It's green. It's good. Now, I didn't say it added any great flavor to the sandwich. And I also want to say this as a caveat. If you stuff your sandwich too full of lettuce, what happens? It all falls out anyway, right? It's just stuff falling out all over the place. And this is something that I have to take. This is kind of like a sermon to me. Too much knowledge just breaks the sandwich. It soaks it, it breaks it, and it just kind of gets, you know, soggy and too big to fit in your mouth, right? So, what's the next ingredient? We're running out of time, so I need to do this quick, right? So I'm going to use this. Right? Ketchup on the lettuce? Let's, come on! What about ketchup on the bread? Why? Why is that? There's a reason for your disdain of my ketchup. Okay? This is what comes from a tomato when you overcook it. So, I appreciate your feelings on that. I found a genuine giant beefsteak. Now, this isn't giant, but it's beautiful. What's the word for that? Temperance? The idea in that word is self-control. And the Greek word is actually, it's a more particular term that actually refers to slice of life. Okay, you take the data, you take the knowledge that you have, and when you apply it to life, there's a specific time that you apply it. There's a way to do it. And it's not just a hodgepodge of blah, okay? Hodgepodge doesn't work, gross, slice of life. Basically, you take the knowledge that you have and you apply it into individual experiences, and it has the right texture. It is the right firmness, and this is important because this is a word that needs to be applied. But this issue of temperance is the right application, the slice of life application for the proper firmness. Okay, it's not being too soft, it's being the right firmness and texture. But what does a tomato add to this sandwich? Okay, it's a sweet mellowness, right? It's not adding too much in terms of bang, it's adding just the right amount of texture and firmness. And it is meaty, isn't it? The real substance is found in the tomato. You got the idea of the tomato. You cover that with that right kind of firmness. Gives it texture, gives it body. Doesn't overload the sandwich. Now, what's that mean, though? It means you can't leave the sandwich overnight, right? You got to use the sandwich is going to get yucky and soggy if you don't partake of it soon, right? All right, the next ingredient. I love this ingredient. Some people, you know, just they say, eh. But it's the longest lasting, most pungent, most effective, most reaching aspect. And it's this word, patience. And patience in that text is an idea of perseverance, an idea of long-suffering, an idea of endurance. Anybody smells my breath? After I eat this sandwich, you know that this is the ingredient that endures. And anybody who came in here at 8:30 or the first people in the building, you probably noticed it right off. I cut up a whole one of these last night in the kitchen, and it was here this morning. This red onion, I cried the worst on this onion than I've cried on any onion that I've ever cut. So this has the pungence that it needs. What I'm hoping is that for those sitting a little closer, that you'll begin to understand the message behind this Greek word. Because what you have is perseverance is the thing that it really wafts the furthest. It lasts the longest and it goes the farthest. A person that sees a believer going through difficulties, whether it's broken relationship, financial hardship, you name it. Difficulties where you have to have deep prayer, painful experiences, and you stick it out. You stay true, and you are patient, you are long-suffering, you persevere in the faith. That you do the long-lastingness of your faith. We call it around here long faith. But it's enduring. It's enduring faith. Okay, on my roast beef sandwich, the next ingredient tends to be the yellow peppers. Those nice, tangy, mildly hot, mildly sweet peppers. And that goes along with this. This compares to the word godliness in this way. For a lot of people who call themselves believers in Jesus Christ, this thing called godliness is a take it or leave it. For most people, these don't go on their sandwich. They don't like the peppers. You know why they don't like the peppers? They're messy. They're a little too hot sometimes. They're a little too hot. So we don't want people to notice our Christianity too much. It'll overpower the other parts of the sandwich that I like. And that's how you live your Christian life. You're like, oh, I don't want too much of that. That's getting a little too hot for me. And you distance yourself and you say, oh, that's that godliness thing. I know, that's part of Christianity too, but that's your preference. It's not mine. And that's how we treat our belief. We think, oh, okay, everybody else gets by without the peppers, I can too. Well, too bad for you. These peppers are on this. Okay, if you don't like peppers on your sandwich and you realistically your stomach can't handle it, that's one thing. But get the point on the Christianity. Don't leave the peppers out. Okay, there's a holiness that is associated with godliness that you can't leave out of your Christianity. You can't just make it something. It doesn't make the sandwich. All right, here we are.
Add to your godliness brotherly kindness. Brotherly kindness. The way I put this is it's actually another tandem. It's another duo where if you have brotherly kindness, that means one person is acting and the other person is receiving, and it goes back and forth. And the best thing that I can do to mimic that in my sandwich is to say, well, there are people that like to put Parmesan cheese on, so you get a multiple layer of different pieces of cheese on your sandwich. I don't like the Parmesan cheese myself. There are people that take the red pepper flakes and they grind it over top, so there's red pepper flakes, and so there's multiple flakes. It kind of flavors a layer of the sandwich. But the idea that I had that goes along with this is salt and pepper. They're tandem. It's brotherly kindness, and it's normally listed as a plural. Brotherly kindness says. In other words, it takes the one to stoke the other. And so you're constantly provoking back and forth. So, yeah, we won't put too much salt on. You can see that. But cracked pepper. Is this starting to sound good? So we got brotherly kindnesses. And the idea is that when you're a believer in Christ, you don't live alone. You live together and you actually do things for each other and help each other out. And that's what shows up. And that's the thing that Peter's trying to get across. And last of all, and this is how I like to top my sandwich. You can call me a grease fiend or something, but I like both. But the idea is to give it that kind of layer that just kind of, it doesn't have to be too much. Okay, don't overload it with mayo. But you give it a layer of mayo, but we're not done. And this is the point, and it's true not just in Peter, but it's in Paul's letters as well. Let it all be covered with love. All covered with love. And you can find this used by Paul, love covers a multitude of evils or sins.
you see that. It's drenched with, soaked up
with love.
It really brings all the elements of the sandwich together. You don't want to make it soggy. You know, that's kind of gross. You know, love that's all touchy-feely just kind of gets overwhelming. You don't want that kind of over-the-top kind of flavoring of everything. But when you have the right amount glazed over all the toppings, it just sinks in. It permeates the sandwich. And that's the kind of love that is being expressed in this text. The agape love is kind of permeates every ingredient that we've added to our faith, that we've added to the mixed. Now we gather up the sandwich, we put it all together, and we've called ourselves a disciple that is really, it says it in verse 8, we are abounding, and we're not barren, we're unfruitful. We're the right kind of tasteful sandwich. And ultimately brings those dual elements together. And the only other question that we have is are we going to wrap this sermon up and then you're going to, for here to go? You're just going to leave it here? Or are you going to take it to go? And I want for each one of you to take it and go with it. Shall we pray? Father, this is a little bit different in expressing the meaning of what your word has shared with us. But Peter wasn't talking to clouds. He was talking to people, and he believed that they would understand what they were to add to their faith. Today, even today, it's my role, it's my job to see that the people here gathered in your name are able to understand what you expect of them and what you would have for them to take and add to their faith. It's not that they can have faith on their own. It's not that they can have the bread and the meat by themselves. If they try to do this alone without that, it's just a salad. But if they have you in their life, they are a partaker of the divine nature, and they are a person that has escaped the grip of the world and its lusts and its evil desires. But now, Lord, in adding to the thing that's true in their heart and life of following you, would they be adding these ingredients, the ingredients that make them neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.